This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. A group of local skaters has built their own skate park in Newport, located beneath a section of I-471 near Newport High School. It's dubbed the Newport DIY. The park was an all-volunteer effort that was years in the making and wasn't authorized by city officials. Today, that park is frequented by local skaters on almost any dry, nice weather day. Freelance writer Lisa Murther put together a feature story on the Newport DIY for the May issue of Cincinnati Magazine. And she joins us this afternoon, along with two of the men who created the Newport DIY skate park, Gary Collins, who's owner of the Galaxy Skate Shop, and Galaxy founder and former owner Andrew Martin. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Gary, Andrew, and Lisa, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Thank you.
Lisa, why did you want to write about this? What got you going on this?
So actually, I have to give credit to a different media outlet, which is WCPO. Emily Maxwell is an amazing photographer, videographer, and she had done a piece on a mural that they have down there, and it completely caught my eye. The more I read about the story, the more fascinated I was by how kind of off the grid it was. And I knew there was something there. I didn't even know at that point how deep it went, but I knew that there was something special there.
What's the coolest aspect of this story to you?
Oh my gosh. The coolest aspect of the story that I did not expect was the mentoring involved in it, and really why Andrew started it, and his backstory, and I'll let him tell that. But to give back, to mentor other boys, to be kind of a part of their lives in, this amazing and very different way, that touched me very much.
Andrew, talk about that some more, about this whole mentoring aspect and why you started this in the first place.
Well, I think in skateboarding, you end up meeting a lot of people, and you get to go a lot of places, and you get to see a lot of things that you wouldn't normally see, or you're really in a city in a much different way than you are when you just go on vacation there or travel. It gave a lot to me. It opened up a lot of opportunities. It opened up a lot of doors that I probably would not have had open just given where I came from. I didn't really have a lot of money. We really didn't come from a lot of things. There wasn't a lot for me. The skate shop was really a way for me to kind of give people those chances and give people those opportunities to be able to see more than their world. I mean, sometimes you have to step outside your world and you have to be able to get there. And sometimes somebody has to take you there.
So where exactly, I know it's under 471 and it's near Newport High School. Where exactly are we talking, under the bridge, or is that where it is?
Yeah, it's underneath the underpass, right across from the football field, right by the city building, pretty much. The city garage?
Maintenance garage, yes.
And you know what's funny, Gary, is all these years, I mean, it's been there for what, about 8 years now or so?
Yeah, give or take, about 8 years.
Yeah, I had no idea that this was there.
Yeah, that's kind of the allure of it, is most people don't know it's there. And that allows us to skate there without any hassle or any outside influence, basically, which is good.
Yeah. How did the city react to this when you started putting this in?
Well, they actually handled it really well. Jerry, I let Jerry Peluso sort of know when it was starting up. He really, to give him an amazing amount of credit, he pretty much should have just instantly shut it down, or the city should have instantly just stopped it from happening. But he saw a lot in it. He saw the qualities of it. He saw the learning process that was involved in it. And they couldn't do a whole lot to help us for probably a lot of different reasons, and insurance reasons and the fact that it'd be sanctioned and that we were just some random people. We're not random. I mean, I was a business owner there, but we're just people building stuff. There's no other situation where that would be acceptable.
So. Yeah. Why this particular spot for the skate park? Was it just it just happened to be the spot that was available, or did you see something in it?
Well, a couple of things. It's covered, so it gets less rain than everywhere else. It's unused, and it seemingly neglected. So a lot of cleanup had to happen to get to that point to where we were able to build things, and then. Yeah, it's just secluded. There's no houses nearby for the noise to disturb or anything. So just pretty secluded area, pretty perfect, actually. And then also the building materials that are right there. We have the creek, the water, the extra rock, the fill. Everything is there to build. So
when I heard that story, that truly drew me to it. I want you to tell
the creek?
How you build, how you initially built.
Well, initially,
because this was all volunteers building it, wasn't it?
Yeah. Pretty much all the young skaters who skate there, headed up by Andrew at first, and then me a little later. But yeah, we used the water from the creek. We used to get it from the water fountain, but we found it was closer to get it from the creek that was right over the hill. But oftentimes it was muddy. People would be sliding down the hill, like more than you know, a handful of guys have ended up fully in the creek, you know, which is not ideal, and it's pretty gross, but it works well. But now we have a pump, so we don't have to actually get in the water.
Well, that's a big improvement. And I imagine there's some concrete, quite a bit of concrete work involved in this. Did anybody have any experience with that kind of thing?
I had never poured a drop of concrete in my entire life, but that's what YouTube is for, and that's what we went out and we just all sort of learned together and went out and collected tools and used whatever we had available and just sort of went to town.
Again, 513-419-7100, if you'd like to join our conversation. You talked, Gary, about how the place was kind of rough at the beginning. What was it like when you first started working on this?
Well, I covered in dirt, a couple inches of dirt had formed there or settled there just over time. But it was a large slab, used to be a batting cage. I heard before that, I seen someone wrote on the internet that it was they used to have flea markets there. I don't know if that's true or not. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Have you heard anything about this?
I have not. No.
Someone commented that on Jerry's post.
You're starting rumors on the
Facebook
radio.
No, I don't think so.
maybe we can get to the bottom of it. If somebody who knows the true story would call us and tell us.
Maybe, but for the most part, it was a batting cage, and all the home plates were still there in the concrete. But we actually ended up taking those out. We would build where those were. Because they were rough, so we would knock those out first, and that's where we put some of the obstacles, you know, just to get rid of the rough.
So tell me how it's evolved. What was it like when you first got it opened up? What's it like today?
Like Gary said, it was just a big slab of concrete and just us shoveling.
And if you're a skateboarder, that's all you need, right?
That's it. Yeah. Really, that is it. And then people would just come and they'd drop stuff off. They would – I actually had one guy who his basketball hoop had fallen down and he didn't skate and his kids didn't skate. And he saw what we were doing down there and he went ahead and just welded it into a flat bar and just dropped it off down there. Like people would just drop things off all the time. But the wooden ramps wouldn't last very long. They'd get busted, or you know, a lot of people were going down there and skating. So we started to make some things, you know, started to make it out of concrete, a little bit more permanent of a structure. So there was only like a couple obstacles, like a box at first, like a ledge to skate. I actually got a piece of granite from the granite place in Newport. They sold it to me pretty cheap to be able to put it on the side so it wouldn't wear down, so you wouldn't have to worry about, you know, metal issues or the concrete wearing down. So there's a piece of granite on it. It's fantastic. It's a wonderful box.
Andrew, how did you raise money for this?
A bucket?
Really?
In the skate shop. Yeah, it was just if people came in or
that's been your most effective fundraiser?
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. That bucket makes about $5 a day, basically. So, you know, over time that adds up more than like, you know, 50 or 100 from, you know, from wherever, but five. I mean, that adds up pretty good.
And when you're dealing with volunteer labor and you're dealing with people who genuinely care about what's happening and they care about the money that's going into it and there's in the resources, you end up with a much less expensive obstacle than you would if you paid for some company to come in and do it. So, I mean,
yeah, and then also when we have something started, a project started, we can often put out on social media, you know, we need this amount, you know, can you, if you guys want to come in, drop a little change or a couple of dollars in the bucket, we need to get to this goal. And then we get there quicker than, you know, that you would think.
How did you get started in skateboarding? I'm curious what got you hooked on this. Were you a kid when you started, Andrew?
Yeah, I was actually, like a lot of people, I was just watching people skateboarding. My older brother skated a little bit, and he skated outside, and I would sit in the windowsill, and I'd watch him, like, skate in the parking lot out front. And then I eventually got an old skater from Fairfield named Ryan Fitzer. I got a board from him when I was young, and he gave me a Mark Gonzalez Mini. I still remember that board. It was great. It's fantastic. But like so many skaters, usually you're just getting hand-me-down stuff at first, and you're just getting, you know, whatever you can to go through stuff. And they're just, if they have, they give, and, you know, when you need, you take. And that's how you usually get a lot of guys going now, is if you find a kid who wants to start skating, you get some of your old stuff together and you pass it on to them and you get them going.
Gary, what about you? What got you started?
That's exactly how I got my first board. I was just turned 14 at Holmes High School in Covington. I met a couple guys who skated, and I would just watch them skate at lunchtime or on break. And then I just started hanging out with them, and then a couple days later, they put me together a ragtag board, and the rest is history pretty much. Been skating ever since.
He's also, though, he's not telling you that he was pretty much pro skater.
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
That's impressive. That's impressive.
Yeah.
He actually won a contest that I entered. I entered one contest in my entire life, and I was 15 years old, and he actually came and won it before I knew him, like just won the advanced.
I don't know, what in Oxford?
Yeah, I was in that Oxford contest.
Yeah, I was probably 16, 17 at that time, maybe. It's hard to remember.
How big skating in our area?
It's huge. Skating's huge. I mean, you may not see skaters every single place you look, but, you know, anytime we have events, I mean, there's a couple hundred people come out to our events, you know, like people. And it's all over the place, you know. Every neighborhood has, you know, 10, 15, like, core skaters, and then probably 10, 15 more who just skateboard casually. So if you start adding that up, all the neighborhoods, I mean, it's pretty big.
And when you skateboard, it actually benefits you to not skateboard out in the middle of the street or in the middle of some place that's really busy or there's lots of people. So a lot of times you don't see them. A lot of times it's alleyways at night. A lot of times that's where the spots are.
Well, Lisa wrote about this in the article, and I have to have you tell us the story about being stopped by the police when you were in a private parking lot skating, I think, and the police came by and questioned you.
Yeah, it was one night. We were out at this skate spot in Clifton called the Dio's. And the cops are always stopping by there. I mean, Gary skates there way more than I ever have, but the cops are always stopping by there and kicking you out. And it's just a doctor's office parking lot, but it's got these banked walls on it. And it's actually
irresistible, right?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's yeah, a really
been
awesome.
Skating there for probably 30, 40 years at this point.
It was amazing. So I'm sitting there and I'm skating around, and I think Rob Ford was with me and Zach, and all of a sudden this cop comes firing around the corner and just starts, you know, he's just like, hey, you know, you guys got to get out of here. He's just this younger cop. He's younger than us for sure. And he sits us down on the curb, and he's sitting there and he's pointing at us, and he's like, what do you do? And I was like, well, I'm a computer technician. And then he points over to Rob and he's like, well, what do you do? And he's like, I'm a clinical pharmacist. He goes over to Zach and says, you know, what do you do? And he's like, oh, I'm, you know, doing research at Children's Hospital. And it was just amazing to like look on this guy's face, like, it just wasn't it was not what he was expecting to see when it comes to, you know, but we're just a bunch of
people have this, I think they have this image of skateboarders in their head. And when you tell them that you're actually a white collar professional person, they go, what?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's definitely a antiquated like a vision of what skateboarders are, you know, with the general public. Like that's a pretty common misconception, you know, that most of the things you're going to hear are negative, which is actually, you know, very, very old way of thinking. Like a lot of skaters these days, I mean, they're just normal people. they're like everyone else. They just skateboard instead of, you know, whatever hobby people pick up.
CrossFit, jogging, tennis, whatever.
Yeah. And I feel like having the cop, interacting with the cops is a pretty normal thing for skateboarders. Being kicked out of spots. I mean, it's been happening since I was 14. But I do feel like it's relaxed a lot in the past few years. Do you think?
Oh, absolutely.
It's relaxed,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely, yeah. And especially in places like Newport where they see some of the benefits and you start to get to know some of these people and you start to know the community, because that's really what it's about. It's about community. The whole thing is about community.
Yeah, it's about community building.
Yeah, and so they see that and they realize that you are not the problem or that you're not headed somewhere to become the problem and that they're able to identify that. And it's cool to change some views.
I think major props goes to Mayor Jerry Peluso in Newport. Talking to him about this project, he saw the value in it, you know, almost instantly, and really knew that it was a great alternative for kids who might be doing things that weren't always going to be so good for them. And that was a pretty cool piece of this story as well.
Well, I think it's a good use of space for Newport because if I'm not mistaken, there's not a lot of room in Newport to put something like this up.
That was what Jerry said. That was one of the problems initially when I think Andrew and others approached him about a skate park was there was no space. And when, you know, he says in the story, he was kind of elated secretly when they told him they were under this bridge because there was nothing there. There was no one they could disturb. And it was kind of accomplishing all of these goals with one thing.
And there's so much red tape in municipalities. So him having the flexibility and him having the vision to be able to say that this is something that can be good for not only you and your community and the people that, you know, you're trying to support, but also everybody. This could be like that. That can make Newport a place where businesses might want to come and do business. You know what I mean? You can go do things there. It's a very flexible and evolving place. And I think a lot of that has to do with Jerry and his attitude towards things.
I want to take that even one step further. Like it did start through Jerry, but now like City Manager Fromey, we've had a pretty open dialogue, you know, with adding new things, even the code department in Newport and even, you know, Chief Collins. The police department, we've all been able to create this open dialogue with the skaters and the city administration. It's pretty much unheard of as far as like just accessibility. You know, I send them an email and I get an email back or get a phone call pretty much immediately or the same day, you know. So that usually doesn't happen in, with skateboarders working with administration. So, yeah, the kudos to the whole Newport, Kentucky period, like all the administration.
Brian sent us an email, and he just wanted to say thanks to you for putting this together. He says he can't thank you enough for creating this park.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. So are there any rules of etiquette, anything that skaters should know if they're going to use the site?
Basic things, no trash. Well, not no trash, just pick up your trash. There's cans there. Put your trash where it goes. No graffiti. And, yeah, all skateboarders are welcome. Unfortunately, we can't allow BMX riders because it tears up the coping. And this stuff's just designed – it's crash-up derby kind of. So it just increases injury risk if we would allow BMX. I know there's been a lot of contention.
And the BMX are the bikes, right?
Yeah, okay. And there's been a lot of contention with that. But, you know, it's not our intention to, you know, exclude anyone. It's just – you know, we've put so much into this, and it's just skateboards only.
Yeah, and I assume there's no lifeguard on duty, so use it at your own risk.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So was this Field of Dreams, Andrew? I mean, was the idea here, if you build it, they'll come?
It was, but really, I think that's the easy part. I think that's the part that really didn't take. I mean, that's obvious. I think as the showing, mostly showing the younger guys who were with me in that particular situation, it was showing them that if you want something, you can go out and get it, and you can go out and do it. You don't have to sit around and wait for somebody to do it for you. And you can take these larger projects that are really daunting, and you can break them into smaller tasks. And you can just achieve every little thing at a time, and it'll change. And nothing is permanent. And it's a wonderful lesson. There's so many lessons to be learned in the entire process.
Are you attracting just skaters locally, or are you getting a regional draw with this site?
Oh, it's regional for sure. There's guys from out of town every day down there. You know, Columbus, Indiana, Cleveland, you know, Louisville. That's pretty much like a daily thing, but they come as far as the West Coast. They come from all over the place, East Coast.
I've gone down there before, just randomly at times, and seen like teams of pro skaters coming through town and just making it a stop, like on their way. So it's really awesome to see that.
Are there other public skate parks around the area? Or
yeah, there are. Okay. There's Florence has an outdoor park. St. Bernard has a little small park, Coleraine.
Ludlow,
which are all assets to have, even though personally they're nothing like what we got, but they are all assets as far as giving kids a place to go, you know, so every municipality should think about putting one in.
Yeah. And Andrew, real quickly, what's in the future?
Oh, you're looking at him right here across the desk. The future here
Gary,
is Gary.
It's
Gary.
Gary and all the people that are part of this process and have been part of this process that continue to move it forward.
Well, the future is just to keep building, keep expanding. In July, we're getting a in-ground pool bowl, which the city is actually going to it's actually paying for half of it, matching what we raised. So it's about $25,000 for the whole project. So that's obviously the most major thing that we've been able to do down there. So now we're taking over another section of the bridge there, and you know, getting a city half city paid for installation, and that's really probably just going to break it wide open as far as attendance. Like, there's already tons of people there every day, up to 100 probably. It'll probably double once we put that in.
Lisa, Gary, and Andrew, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Freelance writer Lisa Murtha, Gary Collins, who's owner of the Galaxy Skate Shop and Galaxy founder and former owner Andrew Martin. And Lisa's story about the Newport DIY, Lords of Newport, appears in the May issue of Cincinnati Magazine. And there's a link where you can learn more about the skate park at WVXU.org.